If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friendos, and welcome in. This is the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Only one this week, the Highlander episode. There will only be one. It's Welch. It's Bogman. We're here. We are talking some ranks. We're going through some rank questions, breaking down some players, doing that stuff, latest news, little Lance McCullers action, all of that in between in the Uno episode because we had a holiday. And then that holiday pushed stuff and it was like, nah, just going to be one this week on that Memorial Day week. So I know you've missed us, Bogman and I, together. We are back. Boggies, what's up? Is your heart doing okay? The Diamondbacks have been crushing it under their boot.
Are you bringing the matches? I got the gasoline. Let's burn it all down.
You know that. You know how you always like to do that picture of the ceiling fan? We're testing. We're testing the weight of ceiling fans in here in Arizona right now. Not just because
It is miserable. There are three teams with the worst bullpen ERA. It's like the Angel. I think it's Washington, the Angels, and the A's. You know, so like, it's just so ridiculously bad. And it's not even like, I know you're not a big Tory guy, and there's a lot of people in the D-back subreddit that don't like Tory right now, which I completely understand. He has made mistakes, but it doesn't matter what he does in the bullpen. Wherever he goes, they're terrible. It's not
terrible.
Like he can't even be held accountable for that because they're all bad.
Have you changed your tune at all on like Justin Martinez? Because I feel like I get a lot of questions.
They all suck. They're all bad.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like they're cursed. You don't even know what to do here. I remember our boy Larry had hit me up asking about a couple guys, and I said Justin Martinez.
Me
and
too.
But one of the questions I noticed too late that he had asked, I don't know why I missed it, but he had said Felix Bautista or Justin Martinez. And I think if Justin Martinez were doing the Martinez things that we saw earlier, it would just be him, you know, because Bautista and how they've used him and stuff like that. But now I don't know, you know, talking about ranks here, it's really tough. Justin Martinez has a full grip on that job. AJ Puck is still like a month away. And on a Diamondbacks team, you would think like the value of Justin Martinez as a closer would be up, but they can't save games right now. You know, giving up runs in his first appearance, you would have thought he's a shoo-in top 15 closer, but he's just not right now, or at least it doesn't feel like it is, especially compared to a guy like Felix Bautista, who, you know, has a similar ERA, but the feelings are so much different. Just say what you're going to say, but I'm curious at like what your valuation of Justin Martinez is right now in the closer ranks.
Yeah, Larry hit us up. It was May 23rd that he hit us up. So about
6 days ago. Yeah.
He said J-Mart or Hoffman or Chad Green. I said, Hoffman looks like he's about to lose that job. I think I'd rather just stick with Justin Martinez. If he's back and healthy, he's worth more. And he said, J-Mart or Felix Bautista. And I was like, I'll say Martinez because Bautista just doesn't look right. And then 6 hours later when Justin Martinez gave up all those runs, I said, J-Mart sucks. All of them suck. No one should ever be forced to draft RPs again, ever. And he was, you know, laughing. And he said that escalated really quickly. They're just all miserable. Between where do I put J-Mart in the closers ranks? It wouldn't be very high because you are right. Puck is seemingly a ways away still, but it doesn't matter. Justin Martinez hasn't shown us anything.
I'm going to give you here in his last four appearances has given up 5 earned runs.
Right.
And has had only one clean inning, which was his last outing. Otherwise, it's just been messy. He's walked 5 batters in 4 appearances as well. But it's hard to come off of him because it's like his big power 100-mile-an-hour sinker that he throws. By the way, batting average again, this is a weird thing. Batting average against it right now is 190. Awesome. But expected 328. What direction is that going to go? And then he's got this big split finger, which he's got a 52% whiff rate on. It has a 0 batting average against. Like I want to make the bets on that, but there's almost something beyond the bullpen of the Diamondbacks right now. Every single one of them is bad. Ginkle blown up. Doesn't matter who they put in. The team is cursed right now. And it's just like,
it's plenty of bullpens too. It's not just ours because the Dodgers, like they have more bullpen innings than any other team. And Tanner Scott has blown so many in a row. Like, we're not the only team dealing with this. It's going to make trying to replace these relief pitchers extremely expensive in the trade market. It's going to be
crazy. Who would you rather have right now, Justin Martinez or Devin Williams?
Devin Williams.
But Devin Williams still does not have the job. He had one save when Luke Weaver was not available. He's had another couple runs given up when he got his save. You, without question, you said Devin Williams, who does not have a gig right now.
Yeah, I would say that I am, if you ask me who has more saves by the end of the season, I would still say Devin Williams. Would you not? You'd say Justin Martinez?
Yeah, I mean, how many does Justin have right now? He's got 3 saves right now. Yeah, I mean, Devin, what does Devin have?
He has 5.
That's a really tough one. They might be close. I would probably give the edge because I still think Devin Williams can regain this gig
right
post All-Star break, but I still think there's probably
Weaver is good, so maybe not. You know, there's a possibility that he's just a setup guy, but how do you trust anything from Justin Martinez right now? He's been hurt and performed terribly and been inconsistent. He has the stuff. He has it, but so does Devin Williams, and Devin Williams lost it, right? So, like, the relief pitchers, they've always been bad, but they weren't this consistently bad, I feel like. You know, to even a few years ago, but it is, and it's probably just revisionist history. And I'm just thinking about this year, but this looks extra miserable.
Camilo Duvall just was announced as the new closer for the Giants. Would you rather Camilo knowing that right now over Justin Martinez without hesitation?
Without hesitation. Camilo has also been performing this year. Like there's no, I was so in on Ryan Walker coming in because Camilo Duvall had seemingly burned every bridge with the Giants that he had, right? They had done everything but release him, right? And they were giving him another shot because he's super talented, and it worked out this year. Super talented guy. Everything worked out. But, I mean, even the attitude last year from Duvall was awful. So it really seemed like there was, you know, he was going to have to change and do a 180, and he has. So to me, I'm more surprised that has worked, that Camilo Duvall has worked his way back into that role, then Devin Williams losing it or Justin Martinez like being so terrible. But I think the results have to kind of speak for themselves when it comes to relievers, and Duvall's been good and J-Mart hasn't.
All right, let me ask you this then. Last one. Justin Martinez or newly set closer Daniel Palencia with the Cubs? And you've got, I think it's Porter Hodge on the IL. Ryan Pressly's been messy. Valencia has 4 saves, sub-2 ERA. You know, he's kind of lighting it up, but it doesn't look like he's one of those guaranteed closers unless he keeps performing. Who would you rather have, Martinez or Palencia? It's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably take J-Mart, but not with any semblance of confidence, you know. If it's head to head, I'm probably taking Martinez for the end of the year, hoping he gets that role. If it's Roto, give me all the saves I can have now. Give me Palencia.
Yeah, I think I think Martinez is going to bounce back from this. He's still got big power stuff. He's got to drop the walk rate. I'm pretty optimistic, but this also might be an AJ Puck pickup in the near future as he's going to mid-June-ish start throwing or whatever.
How can you not put Puck in the fireman role, though? I mean, no one else can get out of a damn inning with when you come in with runners on.
So. It's crazy. The closer market's wild, too. You've also got Tanner Scott, who has given up 4 runs, blew his fifth save on Wednesday. He's in a dicey situation because, you know, the Dodgers have got just a bunch of guys, except Kirby Yates. You know, he's injured right now. There's some interesting relievers that could go in there. I actually am optimistic still. 2% walk rate for Tanner Scott. I think it's been very isolated in a short period of time. I think he can get out of Tanner Scott or Justin Martinez.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking to upgrade your bathroom without the hassle or the wait? Say hello to Blissful Baths, the stress-free way to transform your space into a relaxing retreat. Right now, Blissful Baths is offering 12 months with no payments and no interest. That's right, zero payments and zero interest for a whole year. Even better, they can replace your walk-in shower or bath in as little as one day. No mess, no long waits. Just a beautiful new bath space, fast. And here's the cherry on top. You can get up to 20% off with instant manufacturer rebates, plus extra savings for seniors and first responders. Ready to turn your bathroom into your own personal spa? Go to blissfulbaths.com today to request your free consultation. That's blissfulbaths.com. You deserve affordable luxury.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Yeah, me too. I think Tanner Scott's going to bounce back. I think he's a really good buy right now in keeping that closing role, even though it's been messy.
I would be more on anybody else but Tanner Scott because they do, like you said... Yates is on the IL. Phillips is on the IL. Kopech is on the IL. Trinan's on the IL. Like, all the guys that could take over Broussard. Like, so it's Vesia, it's Kasperius, it's Jack Dreyer, Anthony Banda. You know what I mean? Like, I feel a little more confident in Tanner Scott, but he's been not good. He's given up a lot of saves this year. So, but yeah, I'd have to say Tanner Scott.
Yeah, I just think there's like, you know, is an okay buying opportunity without like a ton of guys that are going to jump over that. So closing market, super, super weird. Everybody just be happy if you drafted Andres Munoz. That'll apparently make you happy. Yeah. Also, hopefully it makes you happy to come over to inthisleague.com. Brand new prospect and dynasty updates are on the Patreon today. Plus, we had an updated week of sheet, 25 prospects in redraft, top 10 pickups as far as waivers go. Lots of baseball stuff on the weekly updates. So come and check us out, inthisleague.com. Support Bogman and Welsh. You are supporting us when you do so. You're amazing. Inthisleague.com. Sign up today. And you know what? We should do like at the end of the show, we'll do this for next week. Any new signups, we will announce them. And we will, you know, like a credits, like this episode brought to you by the people that sign up, sergeants or above. So do that. Sign up starting in June or today, inthisleague.com. Let's talk about some of the other stuff going around baseball before we are going to dig into what I like is Bogman kind of put some really important rank players as far as where will they rank and where should they rank. I do the weekly update. You know, I think monthly, I don't know if we'll, maybe this might serve as it, but maybe we'll do like the full rank update episode next week. But these will be some of the big questions that we'll talk about. But let's talk about some of the other things going on. Jacob DeGrom, weird no strikeout game. Very torn, Boggs, on what side to sit on the Jacob DeGrom front of do you trade or do you hold? I think some of the things he's done has been to protect himself, but he had this last start where he walked two, struck out absolutely nobody against Toronto. He's currently got a 2.42 ERA, a 3.08 expected ERA, less strikeouts than innings pitched, which I would not have guessed if you told me he got to 60. That's also an important point. He's also at 60 innings. And we know the longevity that we all feel about Jacob DeGrom. We know there's something in the future, some phantom IL stint. You got it. That's baked in. But he's projecting out to have serious innings. Do you think Jacob DeGrom is a buy at all? Or do you think he's a sell? He's kind of wish-washy. Like, he could be valued a little bit higher, but he could also be valued a little bit lower on both sides. What side do you want to be on for Jacob DeGrom moving forward?
I think I'd rather be on the side that rosters Jacob DeGrom moving forward. It's just, you know, nothing is bad health-wise. I think we know that he
outside of him being himself.
Right. Outside of him being Jacob DeGrom.
Having his body. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I think we all kind of know he's been not playing possum, but, you know, kind of, he's definitely not throwing his hardest at this point. Right. I think the strikeout game was weird. I do think you're right that there is probably a phantom IL stand in there, or a starter to push back something. Maybe it's like, you know, going into the All-Star break and then coming out of it, so he gets an extra long rest in the middle of the season or something like that. But, you know, these numbers are fine. The expected ERA is good. He's not striking out guys that we thought, but it doesn't mean he's a bad pitcher. So he's going deep enough into games for the most part. I'm okay with Jacob DeGrom at this point. I think if you're invested, you're just not getting back what you paid for him. So I would rather just go down with the ship.
That's an interesting take on it. There's a part of me that it's really the injuries that are the massive worry, but you could also maybe argue like that he's underperformed, you know, like sure. The D-Lo is kind of back up. Seems like
he's done some things. I agree with that
wholly. Yeah. Like maybe he's like babied, you know, his workload for the second half of the season or whatever. But what you can't argue is like he's walking more, striking out a lot less in this season. So maybe that holding it back version of himself has kind of muted some of the production. But then here's the bigger question is like, is he a top 10 SP? And it kind of is. Like the stuff is still there, but then you have the zero strikeout options and they're in your face. You know, who would you rather have? Jacob DeGrom or Corbin Burns rest of season?
I think I'd rather go with Corbin Burns. I think he's kind of turning it on because of the strikeout upside, honestly. But I don't know. Like, you know, DeGrom's whip is still under one. So he's not striking guys out, but it's not like he's not striking them out to put them on base. He's a little more democratic with it, getting his teammates involved, a little more ground outs, pop outs, things like that. So I don't hate it. I think, you know, if you have him, probably overpaid for him, like you said, but what is his floor right now outside of injury? This floor is still probably a top 20 SP.
It might be this might be the floor. This feels right. Like this could be the floor. Unless again, this is the new version where he strikes out less. He's a little bit more volatile, but he still holds like a sub 3 ERA, gets some wins. And he might have these random games where he has zero strikeouts.
We'll sit here in these same chairs in three starts. If he goes out and has three quality starts, pushing 10 strikeouts on all of them, and say he's overrated, because he will be overrated at that point if he goes out and does that stuff. So right now, I think you're right. I think he's a little bit underrated. This might be the floor. The injury stuff is what we're worried about, but he's not showing that. He's just showing less progression. I think his stuff plus is as low as it's been. Location plus is good. Pitching plus is kind of mid. So, you know, he's not as good a pitcher as he was before the injury, but he's still pretty good.
I think my view is if I can sell him as a firm inside the top 10 pitcher, I think I'm okay with that. And I think the Burns one's really interesting because Burns has definitely leveled back. I think people still feel uncomfortable with it. But how about this? Like a guy like Spencer Schwellenbach has really kind of underperformed this year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
in this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
If I could trade DeGrom to get Schwellenbach and then something else, I think that's what I want to do. And I don't think Schwellenbach is holding that value quite as much that I think I could get him. And I think I might be able to get a little bit more. That's where I view, because I still think there's, I don't know what that version of the injury is. It's catastrophic or it's at least going to be detrimental. That's in our future, because maybe he'll defy the odds, but I don't think anyone would have taken the bet at 36 years old. Jacob DeGrom pushes 170 innings this year. And that's like what we're pushing towards. You want to talk about interesting floors. One of the most surprising performances this year that I think we got to talk about and what this floor and the ceiling looks like is Lance McCullers. I was as dismissive as you can be about a player of Lance McCullers, simply because the dude hadn't pitched since 2022. He always gets hurt. God knows what the stuff really is going to look like when it gets tested. Well, now we're seeing it. Now, his season totals, not great. He's got a 5.89 ERA. That's nothing to get excited about. He's got a disgusting whip because he's walked three batters in three of his last five starts. But he just rattled off his first quality start game, six innings, three earned runs, striking out 12. And he was able to lower his whip dramatically in that game because it's only his fifth start. Now, it was against the A's, of course, but Lance McCullers pushed the innings. He's got an almost 29% K percentage. He does have a lower expected ERA, but, you know, it's still high enough. And, you know, he's getting it all done off of his breaking pitches. He throws his slider more than anything else. His slider and his curve are the high K percentage pitches where he throws his sinker and changeup just to kind of set everything up. Here's the question. Do you buy what you saw out of Lance McCullers, or do you think it's, who's the pitcher I wanted? The volatility. Do you think like this is his volatility where he's going to be a 4.5 ERA guy, but he might rattle off some huge 10 strikeout games?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't even care about the volatility. To me, it's, you know, he's going to get hurt again just because he always has. So this is a great start against the A's. And I was looking, you know, I was trying to kind of poo-poo it and shoot away. A's are a top 10 strikeout team. They have the 10th lowest strikeout percentage in the league so far. So it's not like they go out and strike out 12 times a ton. So this was a very good game for McCullers. And I think when McCullers is healthy and feeling good, this is the type of stuff that you can get from him. I just think those days are few and far between anymore. So I like the high end potential, and for a spot start here or there, it's fine. Even if you want to roster him and see what he does for a little bit, it's fine. But he's also still going to be a guy that the first hint of issue, I'm dropping him. So that's kind of where I am with Lance McCullers. I think the talent is still in there in the arm. Just how long is that going to last? How many of these types of starts is he good for the rest of the season? I put it at 2, maybe.
Well,
I would say 1 to be safe. So like this upper echelon where he gets 10 strikeouts and it's a quality start, a 10K six inning game, I would say maybe one more for the rest of the season. And that's okay. If he's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little more dramatic than I was thinking. Like when you compare it against like a 12 strikeout game, but you know, going 6, giving up 3 and maybe striking out like 6 or 7, I think I'm more willing to hold on to it. Now, when he gets hurt again, I don't need to sit around, but I think I want to sit around and see what this ends up looking like, because I think it took a couple starts for him to get going, for him to go 6 and put it to that team like he did. I want to be around for a couple more starts, but there is inherent risk that comes with it. Inflated whip numbers. There might be more volatility than you're willing to get into, but I think I want to take a shot at it. So I'm going to be a little bit more hyper aggressive because of this, because he went 6 too. He limited like hard hit like that. I want to be around to see if like this old Lance McCullers is back. It just took him freaking 3 years, dude. It's crazy.
I know.
3 years to get going. So Lance McCullers, pretty interesting. There's a ton of stuff in the injury market. Jazz Chisholm is going to begin a rehab assignment today. I don't know if it's already happened. Somerset, AA, the Patriots. the Somerset, right next to Joe. Joe wouldn't go. He lives like 10 minutes from Somerset.
Does he not like the owners of the Somerset? Or is this a Yankees-Mets thing? Like,
oh, maybe. It just, you know.
Doesn't want to give any money to the Yankees.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
This weekend, which we'll talk about in a second, but
Shane Bieber is going to look like a camp counselor at the AZL with all of the
he does already. I saw 19-year-olds. I saw him throw this past weekend, which we can talk about. But back on Jazz for a second, I think this is huge. I don't think, and I don't really know what type of like the buying opportunity is. I will say though, with the injury and with the poor kind of performance, I'm into this. I'm into him bouncing back. He should be back, I would guess, by next week. I don't know. He'll probably play a couple games with Somerset. I don't know if they would move him out, probably because he's close. So he probably plays 2 to 3 there and then he gets activated. So, you know, maybe it's, I would say Monday would make sense, but it's huge to like the ranking market, the value market. And maybe there's going to be too much optimism because he's coming off of injury and he's back, but he also struggled. So there might be a buying opportunity. I'm interested in buying on Jazz because I think
there's still some people. Yeah, I think there's still some people roster him going, let's just get him healthy so I can get him the hell off my roster. And if those people are in your league, then bye.
Yes. Yeah, good way to put it. Brandon Woodruff, he had a rehab assignment, I think yesterday, went 6. I think he struck out 7. And then it was in high A. And he's going to go back to AAA to have another one. Joe and I have been joking about just the never-ending story that is Brandon Woodruff. He just lives there.
Yeah, it's... it seems like the universe is conspiring to not let him come back and play. So, because he was, a whisper away from playing before and then the ankle injury. So they need pitchers too. So let's get him back out there. Come on.
Let's do it. Corey Seager was activated. So, you know, everybody can be happy. And then as mentioned, Shane Bieber. So Shane Bieber, he threw last Saturday when I went, I actually saw Tristan McKenzie throw on field against live batter. And then he's going tomorrow on Friday. Shane Bieber threw a bullpen session and he's throwing live on Saturday, this Saturday. So they're going back-to-back days. I don't know the exacts, but I'm going to guess Bieber's going to be 2 innings max on this one. Maybe 1. It'll probably be a light 30-ish pitches or something like that because they're piggybacking him with a prospect they just drafted, Chase Mobley, who's going to make his debut. And he'll probably push 3 or 4 innings. So that's my guess. I think it's going to be a slow roll. You want to know a funny thing? So last Saturday, you know, it's open to the public. And I got a couple of friends that come out and they go to the game. So I get there early, kind of hanging around because it's in Goodyear. And I see McKenzie throw. And it's like an hour before the game. And these two guys I'm sitting there talking with. And then Bieber comes out. And Bieber goes to his bullpen session, throws. And then after he comes over and he goes, let me ask you guys a question. It's like, how did you get in here? And we're like, I'm like, well, it's open to the public and you guys have a game today. And he couldn't conceptualize that the games that they play, the rookie ball, are actual games. And I thought it was the funniest thing on the planet. He didn't say meanly, by the way. He was just like, how is anybody here that doesn't work with the team? And I was like, well, there's a game. They're sanctioned games.
Do you think his subtext was, why are you here? Oh, do you think that's what it was a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was okay. Like, how is anybody here that is not? Because, you know, he's been here for extended spring training, which is, you know, they don't really.
I'm assuming the buddies that you're with are or the people that, you know, they're autograph hounds, correct? Or
are they guys that are like media people? No, they're not media people. They're
okay.
They're all the because this is the first time it's been open to there. And also the Guardians open. Yeah, exactly. So they're like, you know, getting him and he's just like, how are you here? And it's like, well, because it's open to the public. There's a game. There's a game that's about
what
to happen.
Time was this that he's asking you? Is this like normal business hours? Like so in the middle of the day?
This is why it's even more different. Because remember, that complex isn't open during extended. And then when
Peoria is kind of stingy, or
this is not Peoria, it's Goodyear. Goodyear is not, oh, they are super tough, but then that's, you got the rub here. Like, rookie ball's been going on for a month. They're all night games. He's not there at night. He works out in the day. So this is the first day that it's like 11, you know, 10 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday that anyone's seeing
people show up, and he's like, what are they doing here?
Anybody. Cause yeah, there were like other people that were like walking up and like going into the game. People don't know where to go. And it's the first time he's seen people, you know, that aren't the worst. I just thought it was an incredibly funny moment, but he's a very nice guy and, you know, it was all good about it, but he's going to throw his first game on Saturday. I expect this to be like a Yuri Perez like run. Probably throws two or three games here, then moves up, and then he's going to build up. So that is the expectation. So I don't, it shouldn't be before the All-Star break. I can't imagine it is. He's going to have be a slow build up here, but he will be throwing on Saturday. And I think I'm going to go. I think I'll be out there to see my very good friend, Shane Bieber. Very close, good friend. Why the hell are you here? He didn't say it like that at all. Other injuries before we get into the stuff. Stephen Kwan left Wednesday's game with right wrist inflammation. Don't like that at all. Don't like that. I'm not going to zap his power, though, but don't like that. Christian Walker was removed from Wednesday's game after being hit on the hand. X-rays came back negative. Similar
Thank God.
To Bryce Harper also, whose his stuff came back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But Christian Walker's starting to heat up a little bit. As soon as I defended him against your onslaught of first baseman, you tried to get me to take over Christian Walker last week on the show. I defended Christian Walker a little bit. He started paying me off. He hit like three homers in that series or something.
Yeah,
he's still one game.
Still 229 in May, but he does have his average.
Oh, yeah. It's not. It was turning around, and then he got hit on the hand. So we'll see if that does anything.
Expected 247. I'll tell you this. Last year, he hit 251 with 26 homers. This year, his expected batting average is technically higher than last year. So, you know, one of the reasons where you look and you're like, he's still barreling, he's still hitting it hard, he's not striking out more, he's da-da-da. These are reasons to think like, all right, we can get back to it. And his expected batting average is telling you a story that's relative to last year, that there's still, as Bogman would say, meat on the bone for the rest of the year for Christian Walker. So I'm still like a buy on him. Eovaldi left Tuesday's start with tricep fatigue, but not expected to miss more time. So just
weird. Yeah. The two innings left with triceps fatigue. And then they're like, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. It'll be good.
Like, nothing to see here. Move along, sir. Move along, sir.
Sir. Sir. Cole Reagans threw a competitive bullpen session. And I think they said maybe like one rehab start. So he's probably going to have one of those.
He may just skip it. So depends on how he feels after maybe another bullpen or something. But they said after this bullpen that there was a chance that they just skip it. But we'll see.
Good. Skip it. Get back to the majors, please.
Yeah.
Jordan Westberg, though, is starting a rehab. He started it on Tuesday. So I don't know what that would look like. Probably 3 to 4 games, maybe 5. And then you come up to the majors. So he should be probably by next week. He should be back. And he's well underperformed. Probably a great time to go and buy on Jordan Westberg right now if he starts clicking back. Just a more of a quick burn on some of these things that are floating out here. Rockies signed Orlando Arcia. Angels signed Chris Taylor. Both were let go. Both signed, I believe, major league deals. Maybe Arcia was a minor league, but they should be up. You know, both of those teams could use it. And with the Chris Taylor thing, which is interesting, Tim Anderson was designated for assignment, and they brought up Scott Kingery. But I think this is just all in replacement of, you know, like Chris Taylor will have that role and Christian Moore should be up soon too.
Right.
That'd be my guess. Nick Kurtz is placed on the IL with a hip strain. That's not good. Lane Thomas, plantar fasciitis, is meeting with a doctor to determine the next steps because he was moving along in his rehab. So that's not good at all for Lane Thomas. Miguel Amaya is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with an oblique strain. Maybe Moises Ballesteros soon. Joey Bart placed on the 7-day with a concussion, 7-day concussion IL. And then maybe the biggest thing to talk about, which we didn't put, Jackson Jobe was down in his last start. And there could be some injury designation that comes here soon because a mile and a half was down on his velo as we're kind of burning this news. Are you worried about Jackson Jobe?
I think you have to be, right? Because it's either there's an injury or the gun was off. Like, there's not really usually an excuse for a mile and a half difference outside of, you know,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Going from Colorado or a different elevation or something really weird. So that seems fishy. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a corresponding move at some point there. Did Buxton come off the concussion IL?
I think he did. I know that Correa did.
Yeah, Correa did immediately. Like it was the 7 days and he was back. I just wasn't sure if Buxton had come back yet. I'm kind of mad.
This is a good question
right now. Watching this D-backs bullpen. But yeah, the Lane Thomas one.
No, he's still on. It looks like he's still on the 7 day IL. But he
just never know.
Practice. But he took batting practice on Wednesday.
Okay. You know what? Yeah. I think I remember saying they made some move. So it was like him or somebody else is going to come off the IL pretty soon here. Joey Bart, that the one where he, you know, we were wondering where he went in the game, but he had taken a backswing to the helmet earlier in the game. And that's why he ended up leaving. So hopefully just a minimum for him. So we'll see there. Kurtz, I don't have any signs of. Ronald Blanco injury really sucks, but he's a pitcher. It is to be the way he performed at the beginning of this year so inconsistently. I guess I'm just not really that surprised.
I am the one I think of note here. Oh yeah, I forgot I skipped over the Blanco having TJ. I think the Jackson Jobe stuff, because I think the appropriate angle for it is he just doesn't need to be owned. Like he has not been good. I noted on leading off, he has a 5% K minus walk percentage. 5%. That's insane.
Yeesh.
Like a solid pitcher ish, or if you want to call it app, would be like 15%, 25% K percentage, 10% walk. Like that's an okay pitcher. If you get like 28-7 and now you're at like 20% is good. Like good pitchers are 20% or higher K minus walk percentage. You know, maybe even above average, but 5%, it's awful. And he has not looked good. And I just don't think he needs to be owned in redraft fantasy right now. So Velo down is just another reiteration of that.
He has two starts that went to six innings and they both went exactly to six innings. So he's not given up a million runs or anything. He's only had really one bad start where he gave up more than three, but he can't get past five in most starts. So yeah, he's pretty 27 walks to 39 strikeouts. Pretty middling right now.
Pretty, pretty middling. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about these ranking updates. These are going to be some rank questions. I've been fiddling with, as I do weekly, with kind of the rest of season ranks, and it has some, you know, some big questions that are kind of tied to it. So we've got some how highs. Are these guys completely dead now? Some of these other great players. So we'll talk about the ranks right after this.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
So I do weekly rest of season rank updates for Fantasy Pros. It kind of helps power some of the tools. You can check those out, rest of season ranks. It's a tough science to all of it because it's like, you know, players that you think can be great to valuations can have big moves, like Jazz Chisholm moved down while we didn't know what was going on. Now that he's back, I've boosted him back up. You put together some questions that were obviously lingering for you for rest of season. So Boggs, I'll let you take it and I'll kind of jump in with where I have generally got some of these guys.
Where first things first, Acuña comes back, hits the bomb, his first at bat back. Everyone's super excited. Where does he go for rest of the season ranks? I believe he was hovering right around 12. Before he even came back, right? Like 15-ish, something like that.
So I'm going to give a caveat. I don't do overall rank. So if you're talking in overall, it's only positional. So just as long as we're talking about the same thing. So it's only positional that
Where was he positionally before coming back? Like around 10?
I want to say I might have had him. It was somewhere between 10 and 13. I don't remember because I've already made the move.
Okay.
But it was somewhere in that vicinity of like 10 to 12. we kind of kept waiting, you know, what's going to happen, you know, let's get positive news. And then they kind of threw it on us like, boom, he's having a rehab assignment. And then things started to move up. Now that he's back, I have him positionally as outfielder 5 right now.
Okay.
I've got Judge. I'm really torn on Carroll right now. I do have Carroll ahead, but Carroll has tanked his average. I had my little concern I threw out, remember, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then he just kept, and then he just bounced right back and everything was good because he had this really bad like 5 days. It's been worse. His average is down to 259, but he does have 16 homers and 9 stolen bases. I have Tucker ahead of him, who Tucker's hitting 280, fantastic counting stats, and I've got Tatis ahead of him. And here's a big key. I jumped Acuna over Soto, who I know we're going to talk about. I jumped him over Betts and Merrill and stuff, but I thought Tatis and Acuna were a big key. Here is the thing that stands out. He's not running yet. It's only been 4 games of stats, 0 stolen bases. He's looked phenomenal with the hit tool, and I think that's going to go. Not that he needs to be running already in this short sample size, but we have not known what that's going to look like, and all of the guys ahead of him are dramatically running more than him. Even stupid Corbin Carroll, who like wasn't having, you know, didn't have a bunch of stolen bases early on. He started to pick those up, but through those 4 games, we have 0 stolen bases. And I don't think we have enough information to tell us like, oh yeah, guess what? He is going to run a whole bunch more. We don't know that. And we've assumed he will not run. The hit tool looks phenomenal.
Assume he doesn't run until he does run.
Yeah, well, he's a 38% K percentage, which I think is something we should pay attention to if the Ks are going to be a problem. His expected batting average is 247. So once the sample size grows bigger to, let's say, 15 games, what will Acuna look like? Will he be a 300 hitter with 0 stolen bases? Will he be a 270 hitter with 0 stolen bases? Those are the valuation issues. So he's really volatile. I think he could move down to like 8, you know, maybe like a Jackson Merrill. But Jackson's really not running either. So I'm not going to move him too crazy, but I think he's going to be a top 10, but I am a little bit worried about when things settle and the stolen bases. Do you think that's too high or too low?
No, I think that's probably about right, but I'm with you. Like you can't move him into the group that also steals bases until you see him steal bases. So I think it's fine keeping him below those guys. What about, you mentioned Juan Soto. Let's just go to him next. He's hitting 224, right?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
When you look at this font page, it's still super red. It's very regular Soto. You know, top 7% max EV. Top 10% XBA. Top 5% expected slugging. XWOBA is up there. Hard hit percentage is in the top 5%. Walk rate is in the top 2%. So like he's normal Soto on the underlying stuff, but the, you know, that batting average is bad. There's all this horrific body language and the media market is kind of killing him after that Yankee series. So how far down does Juan Soto go with a kind of a messy start here?
I didn't move him far down. He's 6. He moved down. Like, I think I originally had him like 3 when, you know, and as we've gone on statistically what he's done, he doesn't warrant being here for sure. But I think he's a massive buy, you know, it's a super messy situation. But like you said, outside of just talking about percentiles, 14% barrel, that's down, but it's elite. He's hitting the ball 93.5 on average. Phenomenal. His expected batting average is 294. He's not striking out more. He's walking 17% of the time. He's doing all the crazy stuff at super high levels. And he is underperforming against every single pitch type right now. Biggest problem is he just has not made the type of quality where he can pull the ball like he normally does, but he's making more contact with it. I think things are going to bounce back. There's a lot of pressure and stuff like that. But the underlying tells me so much. maybe what the underlying doesn't tell me is the reason why I should come off of him. Because I think, you know, 224 almost in June tells you you should be worried. But the underlying says so much to a player that has a history of just putting up monster seasons. Just going to keep him up there. And he's stealing more too. He's 7 stolen bases early on. What if, you know, what if he bounces back and the rest of the way through, he hits over 300, he finishes with a 290 average, 35 homers, and he steals 20. You know, that puts him way up there. Can you justify and say that like Mookie Betts hands down should be more than him? Maybe Merrill. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, Schwarber's homers and hitting 250. Yeah, maybe. But like Juan Soto is an elite, elite track record that I think there's so much saying he's going to bounce back. So I think he's not only a buy, I'm just not willing to bury him in the rest of season ranks regardless.
Yeah, I saw Frank talking about him the other day too. And, you know, just the Mets in general, like Lindor didn't have a big year going there, right? A lot of guys going to the Mets for the first time don't have a good start to their career. So, but with all the underlying stats being what they are, I just have no doubt that Juan Soto is going to go on an absolute tear here and, you know, be scary Juan Soto that he always is. So I'm absolutely with you. How about we keep waiting for the shoe to drop, but the PCA shoe is not dropping. No. He's dropping balls over the fence. He hit number 15 the other night. He's the third player in WAR. He's the third highest batter. He's the third highest player in the Yahoo player ranker as well. PCA is having an insane start to the year. You know, nothing is, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he is going to be a first round pick come next year, but he's playing like it right now. So where do we put him in the outfield ranks? How far down is he?
I have him at 12 overall. So that's either you're too low or, oh my gosh, you've really bought in. I'm not sure what side you want to end up taking on it, but you know, categorically what he's doing is absolutely ridiculous. I've always believed that he was going to hit. I did not think he would ever hit to this degree. I also didn't think he would be this aggressive of a base stealer. He has one of the highest launch angles in the league, 23. So he is getting the ball in the air with a 28% pull rate. It's phenomenal. He's getting the ball up to a level where he's pulling the ball and it is hitting the corners of where, I mean, let me look at the splits on home road. Let's see what that looks like. 280 with 5 homers at home, 10 homers away with a 270 average. He is taking advantage of incredible ability to pull the ball. He's not, you know, his hitting profile looks really great. He is barreling. He's not hitting it super hard. He's not striking out less. He's not walking, which I think kind of makes him a little bit vulnerable when you don't have that walk, but he's got like an 8% contact increase. Everything looks good. I just do think he will come back down to some level of earth, but he is pacing out to be a 30-30 guy. So this is a semi hedge. I put him over Yordan Alvarez, who has missed time and is still not back. I put him over Wyatt Langford. Wyatt Langford's hitting 246 in a 10-10 year. I think he's on that level now.